What an awesome God that we serve. We thank God for who God is in our life. It's always a joy to come together to worship Him, at the same time to draw lessons from God's Word. Today I want to spend some time looking at a very interesting passage. Probably many of us have read numerous times, but today we just want to look on a topic called the secret of being content. The secret of being content from Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we read His Word, as we expound His Word. We pray that God's Word will be very real to us. Father, we thank You that we can come together wherever we are, God. We thank You for the access that we have from Your Word. We realize, O Lord, that we need strength, we need guidance, we need help. We need You, O God. We pray as You hear Your Word, as we read Your Word, O Father, we pray that You will speak to us. Help us, O Lord, to hear Your voice. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, let me start by asking you to complete these common things that we tend to ask ourselves each day. And the statement or the phrase is, I will be happy when. Can you fill in the blanks? Or, I will be happy if. And let's try to fill in the blanks. You know, some of us who are at school would immediately respond by saying, I'll be happy when my semester is over. Or we might even say, I'll be happy when I achieve my goal, the desires of my life. Those who are in the career or even in the working field will say, I'll be happy when I get a promotion. I'll be happy when I have a new opportunity in my life. And so we tend to fill up this blank by saying, I'll be happy if these things happen in my life, if these things will take place in my life. We express our needs, we express our aspirations, we express the things that we want in our life. You know, we live in a society, particularly in a Western society, there's a lot of discontentment, at the same time, unhappiness. And so what happened, people try to fill up their discontented life with so many things. At the end of the day, they realize that nothing is able to help them. Nothing is able to bring the satisfaction they were longing for. In today's society, you realize it's not normal to step down. You know, when I say step down, to come to a certain point in our life or even to lower ourselves. And so what happens? People spend. They spend money so that their lifestyle is in the place they want to be, thus going into some kind of debt because they want to maintain their level of living in this world. Stepping down can be seen as a failure. And so today we need to ask ourselves as Christians, are we contented? Are we happy? Are we satisfied with what we have in life? Are we happy who we are in our life or where we are going in our life? And Jesus speaks about it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I think it's important for us in the times like this, you know, where do we draw our strength? Are we happy? Are we satisfied with the things that God has allowed in our lives? It might be good ones, it might be difficult ones, but are we saying, Lord, I know that You are in control of everything in my life. The passage that we just read today, it's a very interesting passage because this man of God is able to help us. He's able to guide us and to say the secret of being content. I want you to join me, you know, as we go to this place called Rome. It's a place where, very popular city, at the same time, it was a place they housed a lot of criminals and people who went against the law. And there were others also who were there because they were faithful to the gospel. As you go to this very unfriendly place, you will meet two guards. And they will lower you into a dungeon. And there, in the dark, stinky place, where you don't want to be there, you will see a figure of a man. He's chained to two soldiers. And this man looks as if he's not fed. But he's trying to write a letter. He could barely see because there is barely sufficient light. But in the midst of this trying situation, in this horrible situation, he writes a letter to believers in a distant land. He says, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content. Can you imagine? You know, that is the last place that you ever want to be. But this apostle, who's known as the Apostle Paul, he's suffering or he's facing persecution for the sake of the gospel. But even in a very trying, in a most difficult situation of his life, he says, I've learned to be content. This wonderful passage will teach us, will help us to see the principles that this man of God is not only teaching to the believers in those days, but even to us today, how we can live a contented life. And we can say, the Lord is sufficient for my life. I'm happy who I am with the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, you know, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 4 of Philippians, he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You know, there are a couple of words that we want to see. Firstly, he says, in whatever circumstances. In other words, he says, you know, it might be a wealthy situation. It might be a poverty situation. It might be a healthy situation. No, I might be facing challenges in my life. So Paul says, in whatever state I am, he says, I've learned to be content. In other words, the first thing that we see, we need to accept God's purpose. That's the first principle. This man of God is challenging us by saying we need to accept God's purpose. In other words, we need to be contented in the place that God has placed us. We need to be contented in the place that God has actually positioned us, my friend. In verse 12 onwards, he says, I know what is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. You know, Paul is saying, you know, I've learned all these things. I've learned all these things. It might be strength, it might be weakness. It might be loneliness. It might be the company of others. I've learned to be content. When you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it was not an easy life. He spent most of his life in prison for the sake of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians, if you read, there was a difficult situation in the apostle's life where he pleaded with God because of a physical limitation. He asked God to take away that limitation in his body. But then he realized that the Lord said, you know, my grace is sufficient. So Paul was content at every moment of his life, at every stage of his life, at all times he was content. He was happy when God placed him in the midst of believers. He was happy because God placed him in prison, because God had a purpose. Even though in the midst of suffering, God's purpose was there, and God wants to fulfill his purpose, my friend. You know, today we always want to be in a good place, in a place where we are flourishing. It's always a desire to have a very and a wonderful kind of a life. But the Apostle Paul is teaching us one great principle is to accept God's purpose. If it's God's will that we should have plenty, praise be the Lord. If it's God's will that we should face difficulties in our life, you know, glory be to God. If it's God's will that we should, you know, be filled. And if it's God's will that we need to be hungry, you know, we should always say, praise be the Lord. And that's what the apostle was. You know, he was always praising God at every moment of his life. Even in the midst of challenges and difficulties, in the midst of pain, he was saying, all glory and honor be to God. Yes, my friend, if it's God's will, or wherever God has placed us, it might be our workplace, it might be a difficult environment that we might be living in, but if it's God's plan, if it's God's purpose, we need to accept God's purpose, because God is with us. Secondly, when you look at this particular passage, you know, another principle that we learn from this great man of God, we need to depend on God's power. He says, God has placed me there, and I'm contented, whatever the circumstances in. I'm contented because it is God who has planned, and he knows the best for me. Secondly, he says, I depend on God's power. In verse 13, you read, he says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So this Apostle Paul is saying, you know, I'm able to do anything. In a situation like this, it might be a plentiful situation. It might be a lonely situation. It might be a situation that I have plenty in my life. You know, I can do all things because who? He says, because God gives me the strength, my friend. So his contentment was not based on situation. His contentment was not based on the circumstances he was in. His contentment was based because of who Jesus is. God was with me, the Lord who gives me the strength. I came across a poem that was written many years ago by Jason Lehman when he was 14 years old. Very amazing. A poem that he wrote, a person at that particular age, you know, writing this kind of a poem is a real eye-opener. And I was reading it, you know, it speaks about life. And let me read. You know, he writes, he says, it was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warm and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be matured and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over. I never got what I wanted. And I believe when we are reading this particular poem, it speaks a lot. It speaks about that people are just discontented wherever they are, my friend. They are discontented in the things that happens in their life. They are discontented even about their age, you know, about even about the environment they live in, in the place they are living in too. But Paul says, you know, I'm not contented because of circumstances, but my contentment is based on a person. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom I get all the strength to face the todays, I have to face the tomorrows. Yes, without Christ, it is impossible what the Apostle Paul says. With the help of God, with the strength of God, with the power of God, I am able to be contented in whatever situations I have been placed. It might be a jail cell, I'm contented because even in the jail cell, the presence of God is felt, the grace of God is there, the strength of God is there to strengthen me. Yes, my friend, today real contentment comes only through the grace and also through the power of God. You know, this apostle was able to have the power of God because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. His walk with God, he was able to draw strength from God's word. And he was able to know that it is God who was just leading him. You know, the psalmist says beautifully in Psalm 34 verse 10, he says, those who seek the Lord lacks no good thing. Yes, this particular passage, you know, by the apostle reminds us or even encourages us when life is down. When we think that we are in an uphill battle. But when God is with us, who can be against us? When God is with us, we are able to face the many challenges. It might be wealth, it might be health, it might be circumstances. It might be unfriendly scenarios in my life we will be able to face. And lastly, he's teaching us another important principle of contentment, the secret of being content. He says, commit to serve others. In other words, he says, you know, contentment comes through the people of God. When the people of God are there to help, to support, to encourage, to empower, even to equip, it brings contentment. In other words, you know, our role, our ministry, our service, our help to one another brings satisfaction and contentment in the lives of people. Let's read from verses 14 to 18. You know, the Apostle Paul speaks about it. He says, yet it was good of you. So he's writing to the believers. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of my acquaintances with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. In other words, this particular group of people, this church was there with the Apostle Paul. Not only they were just to pray along with him, but they were just encouraging by supporting him, by giving him the needs that this apostle needed. And then if you continue, you will say, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. So this church was there helping him out, encouraging him by their givings, through their help. And then when you continue to read, you know, you read, not that I desire your gifts, but I desire is that more be credited in your account. And he says, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you send. They are fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And so Paul is just telling, you know, I'm encouraged. I'm contented. Because you guys, you are there just not only to share in my struggles, but you are there to help me, to pray with me, to help me even in my needs. I think that's a wonderful lesson the Apostle Paul is teaching us. The importance of helping, the importance of serving, the importance of, you know, being there for someone who's in need, my friend. This church was an encouragement. This church was there, and because of their partnership in ministry, it was a joy and an encouragement to him. I believe, my friend, that's what the apostle is teaching us. We too can be an encouragement. We too can bring contentment in the lives of people. Through our words, through our phone calls, or even through our prayers, just calling people, you know, who are in need or going through a difficult time in their life and just praying for them over the phone, or even sending a card, particularly in the as we approach the festive season. A lot of things happen, particularly, you know, people are lonely. A phone call makes a difference. A card makes a difference. You know, or even a prayer makes joy or added joy in their lives. I know in many churches, like even in our church too, you know, many are reaching out to one another. Let me encourage you. As we commit to serve others, not only we bring contentment in our life, but we bring encouragement and contentment in the lives of people. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, except where God has placed you. If you're a child of God, if you're a person living for God, wherever God has placed you, be contented, my friend, because God has a plan. It might be plenty, or it might be difficult, it might be a joyful situation, it might be a challenging situation. Wherever you are, if it is God's will that you need to be there, accept God's purpose. And then depend on God's power. Because we need the daily guidance of God. We need the daily presence of God. We need God's power to help us, to aid us in this journey. And lastly, the Paul says, you know, commit to serve others. That brings contentment in our lives and also in the lives of others. Now let me close with this wonderful illustration I came across. It's about a man who went to a minister, to a pastor, for counseling. He came because he had a financial collapse in his life. And so he came to the minister. He said, "I've lost everything." The minister just kept quiet for a while. And then he said, "You know, oh, I'm sorry to hear that you have lost your faith." The man said, No. Let me say this again. I haven't lost my faith." Then the minister responded by saying, "Well then, I'm sad to hear that you have lost your character." This man said, "I didn't say that. I still have my character with me." And the minister responded by saying, "I'm sorry to hear that you have lost your salvation." And the man said, "That's not what I said." The man objected, I've never lost my salvation." And then the minister, in a very profound, powerful way, responded by saying, "You have your faith, you have your character, you have your salvation." And he says, "It seems to me that you have lost none of these things. And that really matters. Because these things are important. Your faith is important. Your character is important. Your salvation is important. So you have not lost anything." Yes, my friend. What really matters to us is important today. Many a times, things matters to us. Sometimes position matters to us. At times well-being matters to us. But according to this passage, if God is for us, if God is with us, if God is empowering us, if God is using us as his testimony, that's what God wants us. And that should bring us joy. That should bring us contentment. That should bring us hope. And to know that we are in the saving hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you contented today? Will you be able to fill in the phrase again? "I'll be happy when," or "I'll be happy if." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, Father. Lord, we come before you with our limitations. We come before you, O God, with so many things, O God, that we face each and every moment. Sometimes, O God, we run this race of life along with the world, just trying to fulfill our lives, O God, with the things of this world. Help us, O Lord, to know and to learn the secret of being content is to accept where God has placed us. And to depend on your power at all times. And to commit to serve others in whatever situations we might be in. We thank you for your word. We praise you once again, O God, for who you are. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.